Oh, that's so awesome. Great job on that, Hammer. Welcome back, everybody. 9:15 here on this faux Friday, Thursday morning. Beautiful day outside. Sun's come up. Sens season is over. Disappointing for Sens fans, I'm sure, based on the way they finished the season. But certainly, and I will say it is not cautious optimism. I will say it is unbridled optimism right now that has enveloped the city. Now, I got 5 months before they drop the puck on the next hockey season, and hopefully doors will be open and fans can go to games, et cetera, et cetera. And things can change over the summer. But for the here and now, the way the team has finished, there is lots of optimism about what is to come next season. Now, there's the Brady Tkachuk contract. That will be the biggest story of the offseason, when and if it happens. And if it does happen, what form does it take? Mm-hmm. Short term, long term, how much money? Drake Batherson's contract. Contracts are also a big deal. Does DJ Smith and or Pierre Dorion, do they get contract extensions over the summer? How does the draft go down? Does Ottawa sign anybody in free agency? Hey, it's 5 months until they play the games.
Yeah.
We got no shortage of topics between now and then.
No, and nice spacing, JR, between now and the draft. And by the time draft and free agency happens, gosh, you're into August, you start thinking about it. So, hey, basically 5 months, the positive, the down, upside and downside. You've also had players like Brady Tkachuk in a system now where, boy, oh boy, you've sure had long off seasons where you haven't played playoffs. You've played seasons, good hockey. But you also have the opportunity in a long summer here to continue to build up, to continue to get strong. Stronger and what should be a normal training camp next fall with exhibition games and everything else, should set up the Ottawa Senators. And not necessarily by design, but by the time everything was kind of cleared off after the first half, it has just been the younger players. And it was almost like, and again, I'll give credit to the coach, but they really couldn't be held back. It wasn't a matter of, you know, learning. They were quite simply better than everybody else. So the way you finish off and the fact that they led the way, JR, I mean, that to me is a real positive for the organization.
Yeah, and for, we've had one or two texts this morning saying, hey, this is, you know, this whole thing has been a fool's gold thing and nobody's getting up for playing this. Listen, all the teams they played other than maybe Calgary last Sunday, although it was still a big game for them, they were still alive at that point. All of the teams they were playing had something to play for. Yeah, it wasn't like, yeah. Oh, we're playing Ottawa, let's just throw our sticks in the middle of the ice here, and the end result doesn't matter. Each and every one of those games meant something to their opponent, and that's why, and that's what I think, and DJ Smith referred to this several times over the past month to 6 weeks. These are our playoff games.
Yeah.
We're not going to be in the playoffs, but this is teaching our guys what playoff intensity is all about because these are meaningful games for our opponents.
Yeah, no, and I'll, okay, against Toronto, I don't think Toronto got up for a lot of the Ottawa games. Edmonton was unbelievable, JR. I guess also to that point, though, I watched a lot of Montreal games away from Ottawa. I watch Winnipeg. I watch Calgary and Vancouver. I would actually start to ask the question whether or not they're a very good hockey team. Didn't appear that the Montreal Canadiens, Winnipeg, Jets, Calgary, Vancouver got up for anybody. You know, so Ottawa was actually, whether you use that formula or you just say at the end of the day, you know what, in a longer season and with a better start, would Ottawa not be third place in the Northern Division? I think that's a legitimate conversation because, as I said, it's not just Ottawa. Well, watch Winnipeg. They lost 9 in a row. Who the hell knows what to make of the Montreal Canadiens at the end of the day? I don't think Calgary and Vancouver are very good teams. Certainly the energy around Calgary this year has been terrible.
Ottawa, if you haven't checked your standings, finishes the season, and Montreal finished last night as well. Montreal, of course, was in fourth. Ottawa can finish either fifth or sixth. I believe.
Yeah.
Actually, they can't finish fifth because one of Calgary or Vancouver play each other four times.
Oh, okay.
One of them will finish ahead of Ottawa.
Okay.
Doesn't matter how the results go. That being said, so they'll finish in all probability sixth in this season in which, it began. And they're like, okay, put it in pen. They're going to be in seventh place for sure.
Yeah.
They only finished 8 points, be it four wins behind Montreal. Yeah. They played two thirds of a season. So think about that.
Yeah.
There's another 26 games to go.
Yeah.
You not think the way that Ottawa was playing now and the way Montreal has been kind of just sort of spinning their wheels, that Ottawa could make up 8 points, four wins, and 26 games on Montreal?
Oh, absolutely. And you would have had a lot of head-to-head, JR. It would have been fun. And again, for whatever reason, they corrected it against Vancouver. They couldn't figure out McDavid. I would have liked to down the stretch as they got more mobile in the back end, JR, That would be curiosity as to whether they could figure a little something out. But I never was scared when they went in against Toronto, and I was never scared against any of the other teams. So from a matchup perspective, absolutely, that would be the case. And then again, from a system standpoint, and as simple as it always goes back to, I mean, if they just got decent goaltending to start the year, right? Like, I mean, it was a perfect storm of a terrible system, but every game started with Matt Murray letting in an absolute leaker that just sucked the life out of the bench.
Yeah, I will say to start the year when they started poorly, and there was a stretch of, I think they played three games in a row in Toronto, I want to say, fairly early in the year. I thought they were just going to get thundered in those games. I thought that was going to be super ugly.
Yeah, yeah.
And instead it wasn't. They were yeah. competitive in those games.
Well, and we go back to, and again, you're not going anywhere without goaltending. We always say that. We all know that. Then you go back to the chaos in their zone. But the biggest part, right from opening night, and it kind of finished because I was kind of wondering why you're dressing brown, and I thought Brown looked good last night, but it really sidetracked all of us from opening night and the whispers out of training camp about Artie Party's having an incredible training camp. Then you watch the game, JR, and you're like, come on, man. Who's evaluating this? Why is this guy playing over even White? And then you kind of wonder internally, and I know it's a rare circumstance. I do wonder, though, why it took them 10 games to realize Zub was a decent player. But I know it's practice, JR. I know it's like training camp. They didn't have games. But like I said, I watched two shifts in that Edmonton game. You're like, holy jumping. Man, oh, man. I wonder if this guy can do it. And he did it from start to finish. And I tweeted out this morning. I said to you yesterday, I think he is so comparable to what Mark Methot provided. And somebody said, you know, he doesn't hit as well. He doesn't box out as well. He may not run people like Mark did, but he boxes out just as well. And also, I said to the guy, listen, not taking anything away from Mark. We love him. Mark Methot played with a two-time Norris Trophy winner. I would say that in the case of this, Zub has carried Riley, and he has made nothing, Branstrom, nothing but a better player. I have just been so impressed with this guy, and that's why I say he really has a nice future here and really reminds me of Mark in a lot of areas.
And update everybody, if you weren't watching last night, Elliot Friedman on the Hockey Night broadcast said that they are making, they're optimistic about signing both Zub and Victor Mete to contract extensions. Now, whether that means one-year deals, beyond that, that remains to be seen, but it sounds like that could be in the offing.
Yeah.
Two of Ottawa's, well, we'll say right now, top six defensemen could be looking at extensions here soon.
Yeah, and funny on Zub is weird, JR, because it's such a rare circumstance at 25 years old to come over, be so good. The case of Mete, you're coming off of making $735. A qualifying offer of him is, you know, you're going to get just into the $840 on a contract. His leverage would be, could he go to arbitration? But even at that, it's not like he has crazy numbers or much of a sample size. So I'm assuming if you're offering him anything north of $1 million on any type of term, that the player would be more than thrilled. And I just got the sense, JR, and there's a picture on social media of him and Timmy Stutz, I believe, postgame. I just think a fresh start. And I really, at least my feel from seeing him and watching him play, I just thought that it has brought absolute new life to this guy, where he's thrilled to be in a young hockey team and around a bunch of guys and just kind of like, okay, man, this is a new lease on life for me.
Yeah. He's done nothing but impress me. All my knowledge of Victor Mete was that Montreal Canadian fans, for the most part, hate is a strong word. They had no time for the guy. So that when they moved along from him, it was like, oh, okay. And then I watch him, so I didn't have preconceived notions other than I knew he was a great skater. That's all that I knew.
Yeah, for sure.
And that was more back to junior hockey. I remember him from that. So then I watch him play now. You watch him much more closely when you play for the team. You watch every single game, and you watch him play. And last night was a perfect example. I mean, the guy's he's not an Erik Karlsson one-man breakout, but how many times last night did he break the puck out of his own zone effortlessly? Guy can skate like the wind. Now, as you said, sometimes he gets to the opposition blue line. It's like, what the hell do I do now? Yeah. That part of it needs a little bit of work, or maybe it can't be overcome. But hey, if he can get the puck out of his own blue, over his own blue line clean, and then get it up to a forward, babe, there's nothing wrong with that, man.
Yeah.
Compared to what the Ottawa Senators had to begin the season, they would take that every single day and twice on Sunday.
Yeah, and funny part is he's wrapping up, what, his fifth year in the National Hockey
League. He's got 200 games.
Yeah, he's ready. He's going to turn 23 in June, JR. And the other part that impressed me with is that whatever he's been doing, and I guess sitting out, he's had time to get in the gym. He's got pretty good man strength down low, right? I mean, you kind of
leverage.
Yeah, he really does, you know, and that's exactly with the good feet. That's what you want in a player that size. So, no, it really really has been a nice mix and just how refreshing with a couple of guys changed out, adding a little mobility. And as I said, he's right in that wheelhouse with the rest of that young crew where, like I said, even going to a Montreal team, expectations are high. You're with kind of an older crew. It's probably a lot more comfortable for him right now.
Going to hear from Josh Norris in just a second on Garbage Bag Day. Suddenly, Rob Blake has taken over the show. So we had Triple D say that he messaged Rob Blake's daughter on TikTok. Is that right? Yeah. Now, I don't know how old Triple D is.
Yeah.
This could all be cool. I have no idea how old Rob Blake's daughter is.
Yeah. I don't think the reception from a young person with a handle of Triple D would necessarily be anything.
Maybe he's got another handle on TikTok.
Maybe Triple X.
Yeah. Not quite sure. Anyway, here we go with another text. I'm not Triple D, but I dated Rob Blake's niece.
Oh.
Great people, down to earth. That comes from unsigned.
Okay.
So Rob Blake, he's originally from Simcoe, Ontario, which is down near where I grew up, sort of, near London.
Is Simcoe on the water, Jim?
Close,
okay.
All of a sudden, the Rob Blake connections to people listening to TSN 1200 in Ottawa, they're just springing up like crazy. I know our friend Gary Galley, of course, close friends with Blakey.
That's true.
From their time at Bowling Green. So there's another Ottawa connection
right there.
But. Like, who knew? Who knew that Rob Blake's tentacles reached into Ottawa?
Well, Bowling Green alumni, right? They wouldn't have crossed paths there, but they did play together with the Kings. And also, Gallows was dating himself last night. When you start throwing out the Marcel Dion stuff, he was talking about Marcel in the movie made where he banked it off a goaltender. It's amazing how when guys link careers, right? And imagine you're sitting there with Dave Taylor at the end of his career, and Dave's like, yeah, I used to play with, I don't know, Eddie Westfall, who's like 80 years old at the time. Kind of cool how that all links up. So that is also from, we play that every morning. I heard it coming in on your jersey, JR, like jersey faux pas. Don't put, your name on it or your name.
Yeah.
The one thing you hate in life is somebody at some point in their life that had dated a hockey player, and then their boyfriend is there, and every time they're introduced, they're like, and I knew one girl that dated Gary Robertson, she's married, and every time she'd run into somebody, somehow she dated Gary Robertson in high school would come up. And I thought for the guy, like, I don't, I think dating Rob Blake's niece, whatever point that was in your life, you need to probably move on at that some point, right?
Well, he's just maybe just picking up a loose connection.
I know.
I don't think it's something that, I don't think you have that in your Twitter bio.
No.
Once dated Rob Blake's niece.
That's true.
If that's your calling card for life, you probably want to just bump that up a little bit.
Well, the fella that went on the dates with Eugenie Bouchard, he's probably got that in there, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Who's our next captain? Writes unsigned.
Yeah, I don't. I mean,
it's
I've
Brady
always,
Kachuk.
Well, I.
It's Brady Kachuk.
I assume. Yeah. I mean, I.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. I would.
Unless he doesn't want it.
Well, and again, I've always been bullish on that thought. That I think for Thomas Chabot in this market, even for the way this year went, JR, as the Francophone, and depending how the years go, I don't think you need to throw that on him. And for Brady Kachuk, I don't think it would faze him one bit. And he certainly emerged to that. And deep down, I would assume, well, Thomas Chabot, are you proud you want to be JR? But that would be a welcome move where he just needs to focus on himself and the team and not have to deal with
the
captaincy.
He's going to have to speak all the time anyway because of this being a bilingual market.
That's good. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I'm just trying to think off the top of my head how many French-speaking players there are on the Sens. There's not a ton, so I don't want to say it's a requirement, but I think you want to have a French speaker speak after every game.
Would you agree with the assessment that, I think about Brass and I think about some of the other people covering the Sens. I'm not saying that they're pro or they're fans of the Sens, but how the feel of the French media that covers Ottawa, it's not negative like it is in Montreal, right? And I can't read it or even understand it, but would you agree with that? That for the most part, it's pretty positive. Like, they're really proud of the French-Canadian players that play on Ottawa? Would that be accurate?
Sure. Yeah.
Versus, for the French guy in Montreal, what you're having to deal with on a daily basis is just kind of off the charts as far as, some of the negativity.
Unsigned writes, Connor Brown would be a better choice for captain than Kachuk for the early days. That comes from unsigned.
No, I don't agree with that at all. And not that he wouldn't be a bad choice, JR. I thought pausing it for now, but the way that Brady Kachuk has evolved, emerged, the way he's held the pressers, I don't care about the contract part of it, but I think the timing this summer, and I think as a franchise, last year was cool. You had the draft, you had the new jerseys, and now I think the next layer of this is a contract extension, and if it's 2-3 years, I'd like it at least 3. That's just my personally, but I think making him the captain would just be another stamp here on kind of going forward. So I think the timing is right.
I once dated, Josh writes, I once dated Pat Burns' daughter. That was quite the stressful experience. It comes from Josh.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, okay, okay. So now we're finding a lot of dating history here in Ottawa.
Yeah, and Burns, he used to carry around, JR, he'd have the picture in his wallet from when he was working at
the cop. Yeah, but undercover.
He had the undercover one, and he had the beard going, and he was on the big Harley. And Pat fit the part perfectly.
He's probably packing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh, he would have been then. I mean, well, let's be honest, and I hope they're not listeners and they're going to come after us, but the bike gangs in Quebec are very serious about their product and what they do for a living. So, yeah, they are not exactly. If you're going to run into Mom Boucher, do you know who that is?
I know the name.
Yeah, if you're working in those circles, you're packing. Yeah,
I try not to familiarize myself too much with that. It's like, hey, listen, I'm just here doing my thing on the radio machine.
You're not cruising around Canada with their Hell's Angel.
No,
coat on.
No, you know, try to keep that low profile. Yeah, in my safe house. All right, 9:30. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll hear from center Josh Norris, who got the game winner last night as they beat the Leafs 4-3. It is garbage bag day for the Sens. They're wrapping up their season, final medicals. Final meetings with DJ Smith and Pierre Dorion. And then it's off into the great wide open. Some of them heading off to world championships. And some of them just heading home, like Timmy Stutzlis, and looking forward to seeing my family. It's been a while, and it's been a crazy year. And before you know it, they'll be reconvening for training camp, which we hope will begin on time, sometime in September. Pierre Dorion, by the way, DJ Smith will speak this afternoon, and Pierre Dorion will speak tomorrow to put their wrap-up on this Sens season. All right, we'll take a break, come back with Josh Norris and much more as we roll on here for this Thursday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
All right, welcome back. 9:34, garbage bag day for the Sens. Looks like Steve Lloyd and company on In the Box going to kick off their show with a visit with Brady Tkachuk. Which will be fantastic, just after 10 o'clock this morning. So stand by for that. And DJ Smith will join them on the show at some point as well, between 10 and 2. The Sens head coach, as they wrap up their exit meetings today and before they head into the offseason. Josh Norris has already met with the media, went through his meeting with the coach and the GM, and had his medicals as well. Here is a little bit of what Josh Norris had to say this morning.
What's your biggest takeaway from this season?
I think we're starting to become, a really good team. And, I think from where we started this year to where we finished, it's really encouraging for us. And, just to know that the work that we're putting in and, is going in the right direction, and we're holding each other accountable as, a whole group. So it's going to be exciting off season. And I know everyone's, excited to go home and see their families and recuperate and stuff, but I know I'm already excited to get back here and see what we can do next year.
First half of the season was pretty disappointing, I would assume, from everybody's standpoint, and almost disastrous. What is there any one thing you can pinpoint that was able to help turn the season around here from the first half to the second?
I don't know, really. I think we were just so sick and tired of losing, and I think the attitude kind of just changed a little bit, and guys started, maybe being a little bit harder on each other and just holding ourselves to a standard that we wanted to play to every night. And so I guess just the leadership took over on the team, and, guys like Brady and Chabby and Paulie, and, there's, multiple other guys too. But I just think we started, to take things into our own hands more. And, you guys saw the amount of success we had the second half of the season. And I would just say the leadership took over.
As you mentioned earlier, just at a certain point when guys were harder on each other and the internal accountability set in, like what did that look like? Was it the conversations in the room and meetings, stuff on the ice? How did that all kind of manifest itself?
Not really. It was just like kind of an attitude, I would say. The mindset that we had going into games, and guys were more vocal on the bench, and I think, to be honest with you, it's just guys were a lot more positive on the bench, and if things didn't go right, it was it was all right, we'd go out and have a good shift the next one, and just kind of forget about it. And if things started to slip during the game, certain guys would say something, and that was kind of the end of that, and we'd move on. So I think it was just maturity as a team, and like I said, an attitude going into every game that we can win every game. And I really thought, the last 20, 25 games that we had that attitude. And to me, at least anyway, it felt like we could win any game. And we had that swagger back in the room.
There is Sens center Josh Norris, part of what he had to say, meeting the media this morning. You can hear the interview in its entirety, and all of them, they're all posted to our website at tsn1200.ca.
Yeah, and the whole Pauly thing, JR, like that's a red flag right there, right? Nickname, Nick Paul,
yeah.
Pauly.
Oh, like, red flag like, is a
yeah.
bad nickname?
Yeah, yeah, like, you right. know. but hey.
That ship has sailed.
Another good story. And again, a little going back to, and this is the part of, can let's put in the rearview mirror about the babysitting. Last year was talking about young players. And you know what? You're going to get eaten alive if you start with the young players. I always felt with Shabbat and Tkachuk and a lot of the other guys, okay, that's fine. I understand. Maybe a little bit. And you bring in some guys. Now what you need is good hockey players. The leadership is fine. You've got all these young players from Norris to Tkachuk. Go to Paul. Go to Connor Brown, who's not even that old, to Shabbat JR. There's no need for babysitters. All I want to see on the roster now are good hockey players. I don't care how old they are. Now start bringing in talent to take this to the next level versus babysitters.
It'd be a hard time disagreeing based on this season, right? I mean, you can absolutely draw a line in when did things turn around from Ottawa, and it was when they just started playing their better players, or they're more you know, in terms of the defensemen, they're more mobile players, which is the way the game is now. The thing that, I don't want to say it concerns me, but Pierre Dorion comes from the Brian Murray school, and Brian Murray loved big, tough hockey. You know, he loved skill, don't get me wrong, but he loved big, tough hockey player. He liked that part. He wanted that to be part of his team.
Yeah,
and I think Pierre Dorion, you know, learned it his right hand, and I believe that Pierre Dorion likes that as well. There is no doubt the way that DJ Smith has talked about and used players before that he wants at least that element to be part of his team. So, again, and I'm not saying they're going out and you know, signing five new steamships next year that can't move around that well. I think they will have learned their lesson. But I think there will still be I'm looking at it and just wondering how both the coach and the general manager liking that certain style of player, whether it's in terms of a trade, a signing, or taking what they have, like a Josh Brown, and saying we have to have that in our lineup when sometimes that player just isn't good enough.
No, it's a great point, Jared. No, and I think as Pierre Dorion, I agree with the Brian Murray part, but under Guy Boucher, you know, he kind of adapted. If I was to more fault Pierre Dorion as maybe following too much to the coach, you know what I mean? He did everything for Boucher. He's done everything. Austin Watson, I'm fine on that, okay? Maybe you want one guy on the back end, but that gets into, I want a Mark Methot. I want a big body that can be mobile. Don't need him running through. Maybe Cleven fits that down the road, but I feel for sure a couple of things. I don't think as a manager that you need to hand the keys over, that every decision the coach makes on the lineup, and certainly in decisions to bring players in all the time, that you're trying to do that as a manager, you got to get away from that, JR. So hopefully they've gotten that, but I worry more about DJ Smith, and I don't mind a crash line. I don't mind, like I said, if I can find a Colton Parayko or guys like that, JR, but it's just hard to find. So you're kind of trying to find the right balance, and you want to get away from either recycling players like DeZingle or, again, between Boucher and Smith, how many players have we seen that had played for the coach at some point in their junior or professional career?
Mm-hmm. Our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question to Pierre Dorion and DJ Smith and Matt Murray. They are the three subjects of our question, which is, who has the most pressure on them for next season? DJ Smith, Pierre Dorion, or Matt Murray, several hundred votes in. Matt Murray is carrying the voting pretty consistently now. We've had enough that the numbers aren't changing too much, so they'll probably hold for the rest of the day. But 59% of you say Matt Murray. It's on the goalie. He's got the most pressure for next season. Pierre Dorion is at 31%, and DJ Smith is at 10%. I know that we talked about this earlier this morning. You believe it's all on the goalie. You believe that Ottawa's fortunes next season are all resting on the shoulders of Matt Murray.
Yeah, well, and I also say, Jerry, I think all three guys, but interestingly, because of where the goaltender is, and hey, for Timmy Stutzla coming back, or even the whole top line, Brady Tkachuk a little different. For Norris and Batherson, Jerry, I also understand that you have a big year, you roll back, and it doesn't always elevate right away, so I'm cautious on that. In the case of Matt Murray, for where he's at in his career, for two Stanley Cups, for the reset, the year that we kind of put by the wayside, it isn't anything about, oh, take it easy on the guy and you can't put... No, you're making $7 million, bud. You're in the middle of your prime of your career. You got 3 years left. You have to be good. but I do feel like the fortunes of the manager and coach are quite simply resting on. And I'm not saying there's not a plan B, because you brought up Gustafson. You know, there's an opportunity. But at what point in the year will you decide to, first of all, bypass two guys that are on one-way contracts and elevate a guy from the American Hockey League? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that thing there is okay.
You will if your job's on the line, well, and that's my best option.
Exactly, you will. But also to that, how does that feel for Gustafson trying to come in and save the day versus cleaning up the end of the year? So mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. what I really point to with Murray. It just you know, and also, you know, we're coming off of, you know, 10 years of Craig Anderson being a really good goaltender. JR, like, you've gotten past all that craziness.
Pretty underappreciated when you think about it, Craig Anderson.
Big time, JR. Yeah. Big time. Like, if you settle back, and I think people in time will, from when that trade of LeClaire was made, what he was able to bring to the franchise. If you could tell me for the next 3 years you could give me Craig Anderson goaltending for where this team is at right now, I'd say, man, that what a godsend. Then you know what? It's going to be really fun to sit back and watch and see how far this team can end up going.
Yeah. So, and again, the goaltending will be a huge question. It will be an unanswered question until next year. And a training camp won't solve it, you know, until they drop the puck. It's kind of like, you know, we're talking about the Leafs, right?
Oh,
the regular season for the Leafs didn't matter from the drop of the puck back in January. It's all going to be when the playoffs start.
Yeah.
That's when we'll get our answer on the Maple Leafs. For Ottawa, the biggest question is on, in terms of on the on-ice product, is on the goaltending. Well, you don't know until you drop the puck.
No, and you have a great preseason. Matt Murray's 6-0, doesn't matter. Matt Murray's 0-6, doesn't matter. Just like the Leafs, as you said, resetting the playoffs. And I know the players have to say this stuff as well, JR. I will say the time down the stretch, because it is the lineup. I do think there's a carryover to next year. But when you hear the guys say, we wanted to win the last game to carry over to next year, if we open training camp and ask them, do they remember who they played in the last game? But I do believe the things have been put in place down the stretch. Well, I do believe there is a carryover to that, for sure.
And did the Maple Leafs play, you know, super hard last night? No, they look somewhat disinterested. So, but I'll say this, you go into training camp next year and, you know, the two teams, you know, hopefully the players will be integrated back into the community and the, you know, fans will be around and there'll be more of a buzz.
Yeah, for sure.
But you can go into starting next season in the training camp. You know, Ottawa, you know, the two teams people care about the most in this community in relation to the Sens are the Habs and the Leafs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Ottawa went 10-9 collectively versus those two teams. Like, they were over 500 versus, they're 6-4 versus Montreal and 4-5 versus Toronto. Like, they were very competitive against their two biggest rival teams.
Yeah, and also for an Ottawa fan, historically I can speak to is when I'm in Washington, JR, and you were switched from the Patrick Division to the Southeast. Now, that was good because everybody sucked from Atlanta to Carolina to Florida, Tampa. But in the case of Ottawa, like, what a weird dynamic of old division, new division, and then I would assume by next year you're kind of thrown right back into the old division. And, you know, where do you stack up? Well, we have a whole summer to kind of do our power rankings and figure out where the old new division will kind of stack up and where Ottawa stacks up. We do know that Toronto, Montreal will be in that anyway, and we always love that.
So this whole Rob dating Rob, you know, meeting Rob Blake's daughter on TikTok dating Rob Blake's, this is taking a life of its own.
Oh, okay.
Like, who knew? We'll come back with various people with NHL ties that have listeners have dated their daughters or whatever. It's odd. So that's our listeners, and that's why we love them. We'll come back with that, and we'll hear from Drake Batherson as well. Brady Tkachuk joins the boys in the box right after 10 o'clock. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. .46, our final check on traffic, all good. That's all I got to say. That's all I got to say about the traffic. It's all good. Now until Sunday, get an extra 30 PC Optimum points per liter only at Esso and mobile stations. Conditions apply. Check your PC Optimum app to load the offer. TSN 1200 weather. Sunny day ahead today. 22 degrees will be the high right now in Ottawa. It is 16 at Sports Radio TSN 1200.
iHeartRadio is Canada's number one streaming app for radio.
I love iHeartRadio.
And is your source for all your favorite content, the biggest artists and podcasts, whenever you want them. Everything is in your hand.
iHeartRadio is here.
Anytime.
Anywhere.
Stay connected 24/7. Watch for exclusive interviews on the iHeartRadio CA YouTube channel.
Love you, iHeartRadio.
iHeartRadio. Download the app.
Download the free app today.
Canadians are amongst the world's most researched and knowledgeable new car buyers. From safety ratings and powertrains to blind spot warnings and environmental ratings, Canadians are tops. Before you buy, do your pricing research at carcostcanada.com. It's free and it'll save you money.
Your census invitation has arrived in the mail. Your participation will help plan programs and services for your community. Your census, your community, your future. A message from the Government of Canada.
Alpine Credits, do you own your home?
You mean the condo I've been trapped in since forever?
Yeah. I hear ya.
Figure I should upgrade the home office.
Approved.
Maybe add a home theater.
Approved.
Home restaurant.
Approved. Sure, but...
Home football stadium. Home concert stage. Home bowling alley.
Wow, you really miss going out.
Home beach.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
To build that indoor beach, but that's an awful lot of sand.
Alpine Credits.
Some conditions apply. FSRA license 12616.
You know, driving my new Ford Escape has changed me.
Okay, how so?
Well, this available head-up display feature has really made me see things in a whole new way.
Uh-huh.
Instead of a street, I see a stage. Other cars, my fans!
What about that bird?
Sam. Sometimes a pigeon is just a pigeon.
The 2021 Escape, built street smart. Now get 0% APR purchase financing for up to 72 months, plus no charge all-wheel drive on most new 2021 Escape models. For details, contact your Ford dealer of Ottawa or visit Ford.ca.
Being the oldest rookie in the LAPD was rough. Now he's finding out that not everything was covered in training. Get into an all-new episode of The Rookie, Sunday at 10, only on CTV. Then stream anytime on CTV.ca and the CTV app.
The Preakness Stakes at Pimlico, the second leg of horse racing's Triple Crown.
This horse is taking his game to another level.
Here's the buyer! He's unstoppable!
The Preakness Stakes, Saturday at 5 on TSN. Also stream with TSN Direct.
This is Caleb.
Hi there.
Caleb loves speaking in the third person.
Caleb sure does.
Caleb also loves his girlfriend, Jenny.
I'm gonna make Jenny my wife.
Caleb is a romantic.
But I'll call her my life. With an L.
And Caleb loves seamless experiences, which is why he booked a virtual appointment with a certified diamond consultant from Spence.
Caleb likes things stress-free.
From 2,500 designs, Caleb was able to build a perfect, one-of-a-kind engagement ring for Jenny.
That was easy peasy.
All Caleb needs to do now is propose.
Wait, what? Hey, my palms are getting sweaty.
Jenny's ring is backed by the famous Spence Lifetime Guarantee. You know, just in case.
In case of what? Caleb is feeling verklempt.
Deep breath, Caleb. Deeper.
Caleb has regained his composure.
Ready to take the big step? Call or visit SpenceDiamonds.com to book your virtual appointment. See you soon on Zoom. Say yes!
Bean, Bean, the pros at Bean. Bean, Bean, the pros at Bean. The best dog people you've ever seen.
Hi, this is Keith and April from Bean Chevrolet Buick GMC.
And we are so proud to announce our third ever lottery to benefit the Carlton Place and Elmont Hospitals is online at win2021.ca.
Hey, this year we have three early bird prizes.
The first early bird draw is May 14th for $2,021.
The second early bird draw is June 4th for a Traeger barbecue.
The third early bird draw is June 18th for a 2021 Chevrolet Spark LT, brand new.
And the grand prize draw is July 8th. It's a super cool 2021 Chevy Blazer RS leather sunroof and blackout package.
Tickets start at $35. Order yours today at win2021.ca.
Lottery license RAF 1204604. win2021.ca.
Bean, Bean, the pros at Bean. The best dog people you've ever seen.
Your home for the Sens, Red Blacks, 67s, the World Juniors, and the NFL. TSN 1200. Ottawa Sports play here.
This is TSN 1200.
All right, welcome back, 951. Should mention, Josh Norris was asked about World Championships, whether he's not going to the World Championships. So he also turned down the offer to represent the United States at the World Hockey Championships. I don't think the U.S. has unveiled their roster yet like Team Canada has, or they did. They did.
They did.
Yeah. They just did.
They had a photo up, yep. And all I can tell you is Jake Sanderson is not on the roster.
He's not on the list.
He's not on the list.
Okay.
A couple of former senators are Christian Willanen,
yep,
and Chris Weidman.
Okay. All right, there we go.
Wow, so Weidman had the year in the KHL. That, that's too bad on Sanderson. Now, Norris, I guess, surprised me a little bit, but probably deep down realized he's actually a Newfie. And so, you know, probably saying, you know what, I really don't want to represent the United States. I'm actually Canadian now.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. He also confirmed, by the way, that he and Chucky and Jimmy Stu are going to live together again next year.
Yeah, I was wondering that down the stretch here, because I did play professional hockey and you have a roommate, and at one point we had two. Lives kind of go a lot of different directions, right? Where you make decisions whether you got the gal in there or you want to have your own place, but boy, it sure looked comfortable for all three of them, and I think that's great, especially in the case of Stutzla, and lots of maturity and lots of fun, and yeah, that picture from the other day, and that was on the broadcast again last night of everybody throwing the hats over, so hey, they're in good hands there, and old Jimmy Stu's in a good spot.
All right, so we just heard from Josh Norris. Brady Tkachuk will join the station, and Steve Lloyd and Steve Bunda coming up right after 10 o'clock this morning. Right now, let's hear from the third member of that top line. Here's Drake Batherson.
Just wondering if you can start by offering an assessment on your own season.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a good season overall. Obviously, for myself and as a team, we want to build going into next year. I mean, we played some great hockey down the stretch. And, throughout the whole year, we showed we can, play with those top teams and beat them. So, for myself, I thought it was a, pretty solid year. I mean, there was some learning at the start of the year that went on, obviously. But, I thought I played some, solid hockey. And, I can't thank my teammates and the coach staff for giving me the opportunity to do so.
What is in store for you in the off season as you build towards next year? Safe to assume that you'll do a little bit more off season training with 87 and Nathan MacKinnon and guys like that?
Yeah, no, for sure. Probably hang low here for a little bit. I got to quarantine 2 weeks, so, I won't be doing too much. And then, get on the golf course with my dad and my buddies. And, right back at her probably in 3 or 4 weeks' time with, depending on how those guys' playoffs go. But, we'll see them for sure some points in the summer.
I think one of the reasons you're not going to the World Championship is you've got a contract negotiation ahead of you. Is that something you haven't been through it before? Is that something you hope can get resolved fairly quickly? Have you given any thought to that?
Yeah, obviously I've given a little bit of thought to it. I mean, it's my first time around going through a deal, so it's tough not to think about it for sure. But I don't know. We'll take my time. I mean, I don't got much going on anyway, so there's no rush to it, and I'll let my agents and Ottawa decide when it will be and where. So it'll be good.
Yeah, I'll take her back to the boys. There's Drake Batherson. Part of what he had to say, you can hear the interview again in its entirety and all of them posted to our website at tsn1200.ca. It'll be interesting. Brady Tkachuk, all signs would point, I would think, to a bridge deal, a shorter term deal.
Yeah.
With Drake Batherson, I would give that guy a 6-year contract.
Yeah,
I'd lock him in for 30-plus goals a year. Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind, and I'd get ahead of him it on the contract because I think it would work out better than Colin White's has.
Yeah, and you know what? You got young guys talking. You have different agents, but the pressure points, and it is very different, Jer. A guy that's drafted where he's at and played as a 19-year-old, they all, I guess most guys, come from humble beginnings, not a big deal. But I, as an outsider, would think when all of a sudden you're presented and you present to your family, hey, here's 6 times 6 or whatever it ends up being, and you can guarantee yourself for the next 6 years to make X amount of money, I think you'd have a pretty good chance to get a deal done. That's just my perception from an outside.
All right, so we mentioned that it started with, I think, Triple D somehow getting a hold of Rob Blake's daughter on TikTok, and then it moved to someone dating Rob Blake's niece taking on. Here's some of the texts that have come in. Somebody dated Pat Burns' daughter too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which someone
else
has followed up and said, I once dated a girl that looked like Pat Burns.
Oh.
So that's a bit concerning.
Hopefully clean shaven, but hey, that's okay.
I once dated Jacques Lemaire's daughter. I had to end it because she was too good at the neutral zone trap. Wow, okay. Okay.
Also like the tanning bed.
Yeah. Brent writes, good morning, lads. I noticed Hammer's bio on Twitter says His wife once dated Matt Cook. Interesting, I didn't know that. I dated Paul McLean's daughter, but I started wondering about her history when he kept referring to me as Player 61. Let's see, Wilf writes, I once dated Bruins forward Glenn Murray's cousin back in Nova Scotia. And another one says, I dated Gary Galley's niece when he was with the Bruins. I went to a birthday party at his house in the off season. He was super cool. I can tell you that Gary Galley is a super cool guy, yeah. And he throws great parties. Yeah. So I have no doubt about that.
Yeah,
so.
And I got one from Steve Duckett, and it had something to do with famous, I think, Gump Worsley or some goalie. And I said, hey, the one I know, the granddaughter, Tammy Horton, who was in Playboy, is married to Nathan Horton. So as long, if that was her, if that's who you dated, Stevie, good on you. Probably not in the same age category, so a little different. But it's funny how, those are some good stories.
All right. Stand by. More from the Sens coming up on Garbage Bag Day. Brady Tkachuk will guest in less than 10 minutes. We look forward to hearing from him right here on TSN 1200. DJ Smith comes up a little bit after noon today. Pierre Dorion will speak tomorrow.